Open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, I'm going to read a fair bit this morning, so I have got most of it up on the screen for you, so just to follow on. I do want to read the whole story. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8, so it's on the screen for those who want to follow me. One day, Elisha went to the Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So wherever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I have known this holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." And one day he came there, and when he returned into the chambers, he rested. And he said to the Gehazi servant, he said, "Call the Shunammite." Notice that this woman doesn't have a name either. She's only known as the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is it to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?'" Remember, this is Elijah, and he's walking through as a prophet. And Israel's going through a really bad time. And he's just doing miracles after miracles after miracles. This story happens instantly after the story of the woman, the widow woman, where prophet says to bring all the jars in and God just floods supernatural oil from heaven. This happens directly after that story. So this is Elisha, and he's going, "What can I do to bless this woman? She has blessed me. She's blessed the servant of the Lord. She's blessed the prophet. So how can I do it?" So he said, "Ask her, 'What can I do? Can I go to the king or can I go to a commander of the army?' And she answered, 'I dwell among my own people.'" So this is a girl who knows what she wants. She's like, "I don't need you nor your help." And he said, "Well, then what is to be done for her?" And the guys I answered, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." I often wonder why she didn't speak up and the servant speaks up instead. I've often just like read this picture and I was like, I can just imagine Elisha speaking through the servant and says, "Ask her, what does she need? Does she want me to go to the king? Does she need money? Does she need favor? Does she want to do something? Tell me whatever it is and I'm going to go on her behalf," which is pretty big when Elisha would go before the king and say, "Tell her to tell me." She's like, "No." So she's silent. From what we read from the story, we think she's left the room. "I don't need anything. I'm okay." Then the servant says, "She's got no son." That was it. She's got no son. So then Elisha says, "Call her." Verse 15, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." Listen to her reply. And she said, "No, my lord. O man of God, do not lie to your servant." But the woman conceived and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. And when the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, "Oh, my head, my head." And the father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother," like every dad does say, "Go to see your mum when there's a problem." And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon. And then he died. I'm going to keep reading. This morning's sermon I want to bring to you is, what do you do when you didn't ask for it? What happens when you didn't ask for it and now you're presented with a big hardship in your life? Now, the fact that this woman kind of tells us that it was a desire, because she so firmly said, "No, don't you dare speak about a son." Now, if she really didn't care about that, she would have said, "Whatever," and just kept going on. But from the way she responded, we understand that this was a place of pain in her life. She was like, "Mm-mm, don't go there, boy. Don't go there. That's not where I want to go." So this morning, I want to talk from the point of, I didn't ask for this. Have you ever asked God that? I didn't ask for this, God. I didn't ask for this pulpit ministry. Mm-mm. I did not ask for it. Let me keep reading. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. And then she called to her husband and said, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I might quickly go to the man of God and come back again." And he said, why will you go to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. She said, all is well. Then she saddled the donkey and she said to her servant, urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel, which has got a whole reason where that is. And when the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, look, there's a Shuhamite. Run at once to meet her there and say to her, is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child? And she answered to the Gehazi, all is well. And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, don't deceive me? So she goes back to the man of God and says, hey, back up, boy. I did not ask for this. I didn't ask for this. And he said to Gehazi, tie up your garment and take my staff in your hand and go. And if you meet anyone, do not greet them. And if anyone greets you, do not reply. And I lay my staff on the face of this child, and lay your staff on the face of this child. Then the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. Therefore he returned to meet him and told him, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on the bed. So he went in and shut the door, the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And then we went up and laid on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself upon him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Let me just tell you that Elisha did that because he saw Elijah do it. Who knows, when you don't know what to do, you just follow what the leader's done before. And then he got up again and he walked back and forth in the house and he went up and stretched himself. The child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Then he summons Gehazi and said, call the Shuhamite. So he called her in. And when she came to him, he said, pick up my son. She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. What is it, church, that we do when we didn't ask for this? I asked for a business, God, but I didn't ask for debt. I asked for a job, God, but I didn't want all this hardship. I asked for a marriage, but I didn't want divorce. I asked for a child, but I didn't expect a sick child. I wanted ministry, but I didn't want this kind of ministry. What do you do when you're presented with a situation that you didn't really ask for God? I want to speak to you this morning about 2 parts of this story. The part that Elisha plays in this picture and the part that the Shuhamite woman talks about. Now, the Shuhamite woman and the widow woman, don't have names. Now, of course, they would have had names, and she would have a name because she's well known. She's wealthy in her town, so she's one woman that everyone would know. And I just said to God, why didn't they bother putting their names in? And sometimes God was just saying to me, sometimes their story has got to be louder than the name. See, sometimes we read Hannah, her name means grace. We read Sarah and we know what her name means. And we read people's names and we see the meaning behind their names. And there's a whole issue why God names. He called Simon Peter, and when he changes it, there's a lot of things. But sometimes he wants you to just work out the testimony that's behind the person. She's a notable woman. She's got a woman of high standard in society. But yet there's this one thing. There's this one thing. There's a heart's cry that she hasn't spoken about. But when Elisha says to you, you will have a baby this time next year, she says, don't lie to me. And I've related this so much because as women of God, we seem to be able to put very good barriers up where we don't want anybody to touch us. Don't lie to me, which means I've been through this. How many times do I have to go through this story? How many times do I have to keep praying about this? How many times do I have to keep going before God? And now she's probably set herself up with a life that is all fine and good. put that behind me. I think I'm not going to have a child. The Bible says that he's well old in age, the husband. So I think she's just performed, she's given herself a journey where she's well known in society, she's wealthy, she's doing well in other areas. But this pain that she's got is one of her to take to the grave. And one of the things I realized that the first thing I was saying when for those who know, I've just returned from the States and I spent a couple of days where the bishop was mentoring some pastors. And the first service he did with us, he spoke to the pastor and he said, "This is what I feel God is saying to the pastors of the universe, of this planet." And we sat there and he did an entire funeral service. And the funeral service, he brought a coffin in. And everyone was dressed in black. And there was an actual service. And there was a coffin at the front. And he was talking about the death of the things that we are not willing to let go of. Or the death of the things that have brought so much pain that we've placed into the coffin. Are you here with me this morning, church? Things that we say, "God, I asked for it, but it didn't happen. So I've gone on and I'm serving you and I'm doing things and I'm worshiping and I'm coming to the house of God." Just let's not touch that situation. Now, I know that not many of us are going to admit it, but most of us have got that little point in our life. Let's just move on from that, God. I'm okay. I've dealt with it. Let's just move on from that. But there must be such a disappointment because she's not probably spoken to anybody about this pain. But who knows that God knows every deep, ugly burden that you have in your heart. Can someone say amen? And you know what? God has anointed me with the gift of prophecy. I can prophesy but I do it very differently. Your senior pastor prophesies. But I would not call myself a prophet. The one thing is I do because I believe that God can speak to you directly. He doesn't need to go via somebody else. He doesn't need to. He can come to you. It says, "My children know my voice." So we can go to him. But there is sometimes that he will come and call someone else to speak into you. And every time, let me just diverge with it. A prophetic word always is edifying. Always. It's always to bring, it's always to speak about something that God is wanting to just minister to you. Most of the times when you've had a prophetic word, it'd be just something that you've said to God and no one else had heard. It's just God saying, "I told you I listened. I'm hearing you." So this woman has got this pain in her life that nobody's aware of. Nobody has any clue. She's so prosperous in the rest of her life that she's actually been noted to be a woman of wealth and a woman of position. So she's doing well, but there's this pain. And as she serves the man of God, so he comes through and she prepares meals for him. That's what she just prepares meals. Then she says, "You know what? We can do better. Let's go build an apartment on top of the garage. So when he comes, there's somewhere for him to come and sleep." And the Bible, if you actually study it, just were a place where he could go before he started ministry to do it. So she just wanted to serve. That's why I'm saying to you, serve in 2015. Because the greatest desire of your heart might be coming through your servanthood. She had no concept of what God was planning to do. She just wanted to bless the man of God. That was it. That was it. She was a woman that was blessing other things. She was wealthy in the Bible. If you read a little bit more about it, there's not a great deal about her. But she was, being a woman of wealth, she would have blessed. She had the money to do things. That's why she said, "It's my house. When you come to my house. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to be the one." But God spoke and said to her, "I know that there's something that you're not going to admit out loud." And so Elisha just went, "You're going to have a baby." I reflect so much on her next statement. "No, no, no, don't deceive me. Don't get my hopes up again. Don't get my hopes up again. I've dealt with this. I've dealt with this chapter in my life. I've moved on from this chapter of my life. Don't get my hopes up again." Can I just tell you, church, this year, pull it out of the coffin and get ready. It may bring pain, it may bring hurt, but God is ready to bring some dead dreams back to life. Can someone say amen? He brought a prophet and said, he could have said anything. He could have said double portion of anointing like I received from Elijah. He could have said double of everything that you've got, God's going to give it. But why did he touch that point in her life? As we kept reading the story, she'd built this whole place around her that she was protecting her heart. That God had just said, I want to deal with that part, that issue that's probably brought a lot of pain. Can I tell you, church, that if you are on your road to destiny, if you are on your road to receive your promise, there is going to be pockets of pain present. If you are on the right road and you are on the road to your destiny and your promise, there are going to be pockets of pain. Can someone say amen? Because the enemy only needs to attack what is growing, not what is already dead. He's not going to come to someone who's not doing anything. He's going to come to those who have got something to birth and to see. God always, I've said this before, puts a place of conflict, and then he's waiting to see how you're going to handle that conflict. What I looked when I was comparing her life, Hannah and Sarah had backup plans with God. Hannah, we know, is the one who went into the temple and was crying so badly before God that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. That's how deep her pain was. And Eli says, no, you're going to have a son. Don't worry about it. But in the fear of it may not happen, she brings a backup plan and she sends her husband to another servant woman, Peniah, and then he bears a child with her. And then every year she's tortured as the husband takes this child to be blessed. And Hannah's got this deep yearning, that should be my child. I'm the one who's supposed to bring a child to be blessed. But the husband is so in love with Hannah that he comes down from that mountain and he blesses her with a double portion. This is a pain that she didn't expect. Or Sarah. She was like, I've prayed so many times. You even said to me, God, that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And yet I can't even conceive one child, not even one. And you're talking about thousands? How is it that you do this, God? So Sarah then decides to have another backup plan. And so she says, you go with the servant. And then we see the other son that's born. But I'm telling you that God, when he speaks clearly. Can someone say amen? And when these women have heard of God had backup plans, God says, I'll bless that, but it wasn't the blessing that I was trying to bring. My plan was that you carry your destiny. Can someone say amen? You birth the child. You hold the promise. You carry the burden. They had backup plans. But this Shimerite woman, she had just let it go. She said, I don't want to do that. I don't want you to touch it. She doesn't say, yay, amen, thank you, man of God, I'm going to take that. She just says, no, don't deceive me, and walks right out of the room. She's not yes in agreement with the Spirit of God or yes, I take that as an anointing. No, she just says, don't deceive me, and walks right out of the room. But as the prophet said, and the word of God says, that 12 months to the day she was pregnant and she had her son. Now the baby's dead. He's passed away. Not only did she not ask for this son, the last thing she asked for, he's a teenager, is for a son to die. Nah, that's not pain that she ever wanted to bear. And I read and read and read and read this story over and over, and I went, the very first time as the baby or the boy lays in his mother's lap, lays his head down and he dies. I'm painting a picture. Come with me to the picture, church. She puts him down, takes him up to Elisha's bedroom and puts him on his bed, goes down to the husband, and says, I'm going to see the one who spoke this in. And he goes, well, you can't go. It's not the right time. It's not the right. And he talks about the new moon and he talks all about that. And the first thing she says, it is well. And if there's anything that God has been thumping in my head It's about learning to get your words in line with the Word of God. This is not easy with a dead son that you did not ask for in your lap, and then to spit out the words, it is well. As I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, Tawana and I are doing a 40-day negativity fast. How's yours going? It's going. That's about it. But this year, late last year, I had the privilege of meeting Stephen Blackland from the Bethel Reading Church. And we were talking a little bit things, and he was talking about how God had spoken to him about, it's great to do food fast and to do a Daniel fast and do a thing, but God had spoken to him a few years ago, and he said, what's the point of starving, basically, but yet your mouth just spits out vomit and spew? And I just read what, because he sends us things every day, and he said this, that God had spoken to him and said, Steve, this is God speaking to him, just who do you think you are, Steve? And Steve answered, I heard these words a few years ago. In response, I said, well, Lord, I'm a poor, joy impaired, unsuccessful, disorganized, and under attack from the devil constantly. And the Lord said to him, this is the pastor from Bethel, why do you think that is who you are, Steve? Because that's been my experience, so that's who I must be, which is so true. When that's your experience, that's what you say. Steve, I have another question for you. This is the Lord speaking to him. Why do you say every time you move forward in me, you get attacked by the devil? And Steve replies, well, the reason I say this to you, Lord, is because every time I move forward, I get attacked by the devil. I was like, that is so me too, because that's the truth. And the Lord said to him, that is true, but it's not the truth. It is true, but it's not the truth. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to him and says, why do you talk more about Satan's attacks than my protection? Don't you understand that whenever you talk, whatever you talk about much, you will see more of? So you are seeing more attacks because you're constantly speaking about how you always are being attacked. Always being attacked. Can I ask the church, we need to get our mouth in line. That's all he was noticing. Therefore, that's all he was talking about. And therefore, the enemy had full rights to let the attacks keep flowing. It is well, the woman said, with her dead son in her lap. It is well. Can I tell you what the translation in the Hebrew is? It is well means shalom. Do we know what shalom means? Every Jewish in the house? Peace. I was like, what are you telling me? 2 minutes. I'm like, peace. And I was like, really? That's what it means? It means shalit, which means actually complete peace. That's what it actually means. So when you see a Jewish person that comes and actually, that what they're saying is, may complete peace be upon you. That's what it is. So this woman says it is well. She is not in a place of peace. Is she? She's got a dead child in her hands. Yet she says, shalom. It is well. She's not in a place of peace. I don't know what you're reading, but in my lifetime, that is not a place of peace. When you're holding a desire of your heart that was so now come forth and now it's dead. And I didn't ask for it. If you keep breaking down that it is well, this it is well, shalom, peace, is broken down even further in the Hebrew translation. And listen to this, church, because it knocked me off my socks. There is nothing for thee to fear. There is peace here, for this too shall pass. The one word that she spoke, it is well, means there is nothing for thee to fear. There is peace here, for this shall too pass. Can I tell you, women and men of God, she is sitting with a broken heart and now with a dead child in her hand, and she's saying, I know the God I serve, I know the man of God, and this is not finished like this. This is not ending like this. This is not going to finish like this. And she chooses the first words to come out of her mouth is, this too shall pass. Are you for real? The child is dead. She runs, and Gehazi goes and confirms the child's dead. It's not alive. And as we read it, as she's running to him, the prophet says, go find out, is she okay? Is she well? Is her husband well? Is her child well? And she replies, knowing that sitting back there is a dead child, it is well. Choose your words. Choose your words. Choose your words. What comes out the minute that you go, Alice, I wish I was going to text her last night to just tell her I'm praying for her about it. And the Holy Spirit is just saying, are you looking at Egypt? You might be in a situation that feels exactly like Egypt, but the truth of the matter is you left Egypt. You are on the way to the promised land. Can someone say amen? It feels like Egypt, but you physically have left. There's pain in the situation, but you are on the road to destiny. There is pain in the promise that God has spoken, but this is going to pass, and I'm still on the road to destiny. Choose what you say through the situation. Choose. We have complete control of our tongue. I can make you say whatever you want, but unless you actually speak it out, you are the one who's saying it into your atmosphere. I can whisper as many things, and I can whisper as many good things as many as bad things I can whisper. But you choose what comes out of your mouth. This woman, broken, distraught, she chose to say, it is well. I declare complete healing. She had no idea that the baby was going to come back to life, but there was no way in hell that she was going to let that circumstance be the final sentence. She went and tried. She was like, maybe this is it, but I don't care. But what came out of her mouth, we don't know if she ran and was going, what on earth? Everyone she spoke to, she said the same thing. It is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. You know, sometimes we go, oh, I don't want to be a fake Christian. No, sometimes just be a fake Christian. Can someone say amen? Do you know how many times I'm a fake Christian up here? I pull it together on a Sunday. Do you know how many times there's rubbish on this pulpit, but we all come to bring worship because we know in the presence of God there is healing, there's restoration. We are not perfect. We are not perfect. I think I spoke to you where someone was interviewing the bishop and they said to him, the very first thing they said to him is, Bishop, why is there so many corrupt pastors on the pulpit? He was planning to talk about this great project he's got. They said, so why is it so many corrupt men and women are on the pulpit leading your churches? And he said, well, this is the issue. The issue is that the preachers come from the pews. But the people on the pews are the ones from the street. And every now and again, you're going to get some wrong ones come through the system. That's the bottom line. That's the truth, isn't it? We are all from the streets. We're all from the same bucket of sinful nature. But we weren't from the streets and we're now in the pews. And some of us will come onto the pulpit. Doesn't mean we're a mate. But you know what it is? On this pulpit, I get under the anointing. See, when Alice said just then, take a moment with your God, I said to the music, don't sing. Let everyone have a moment. Because she said, if you need to ask for forgiveness. If you need to just come back to God, come back to God. Just use that. And I said to God, I am so not the best person to get up on that stage this morning, but I am willing for you to use my mouth. That was what I said in just that moment. And that's the choice that you make. She goes off and she says, I didn't ask this. I didn't ask for this. Don't deceive me. I ask you, church, when happens when your deepest cry actually brings you the greatest pain? What happens when the deepest cry of your heart brings you the strongest pain? Can I just say this, and it's just because I've run out of time. When you're ready to go to the next chapter, it's not a bigger level of this. When you're ready to go to the next level, it's not just a bigger version of this. The next level is about changing culture, changing the way you've done it. See, and what I was saying is that Elisha in this picture, he didn't know what to do. He's still got a death child in here. And so he goes and he lays his staff because that's what Elijah did. So he lays his staff. That didn't work. So let's pray. Let's lay hands on him and pray. That didn't work. So let's go. We walk around the room and then he goes, Elijah did this. Let me lay down upon him. Mouth to mouth, hands to hands, eyes to eyes, feet to feet. Let me just lay on him. He just kept trying. He just kept doing it. He didn't know what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. He just kept trying something. I often ask, why is it that prayer meetings are full when we're going through hassles and yet are empty when everything's going well? We should be constantly, constantly, constantly just giving it over to God. That didn't work last time. Well, this time I'm going to try it again. I fasted last time, Pastor Mel. Didn't change anything. Fast again. I rejoiced. I surrendered it. I went to the altar. I left it there and I let it go. And it didn't work. Try it again. Elisha puts a stone. Doesn't work. Goes and prays. Doesn't work. Lays on it. Doesn't work. Doesn't leave the room though. It's like, I'm not walking out of here until. Can I just say to someone this morning, just keep trying. You know the word of God. You know what he says. Keep doing it. And the music up, which means I've got to get going. I want to just give you something. I just felt God saying, your system is under testing this morning. The system that you're working with is just God's testing it. That's why stuff isn't working. Because he's ready to move you on. And the next level is not a bigger version of this. It's to change who you are. So the system that you're operating in is being tested. Can I just throw things out like, are we dying in the business of being busy but getting nowhere? Are we dying in the business of being busy but we're getting nowhere? These are things that Bishop threw out to all the pastors. How can we be so busy and not successful? Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're being effective. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're being effective. How can you be this busy and not successful? Whatever, listen to this, whatever the pattern that you have, that is the kind of dress that is going to be made from it. Whatever the pattern you have is, that's the kind of dress that's going to come from it. So what are you speaking? What are you doing? What are you working with? Who are you, church? Are you a picture of the pain that you're carrying? Are you a picture of the past that you have? Are you a picture of failures? Because this day, God has your system under testing. Are you loyal to dysfunction? Are you keeping things on life support that God is trying to kill? One entire hour that Bishop spoke to, he was like, are you a life support pastor? He's like, learn who needs to just come off life support in your church and let them die. Are you loyal to dysfunction? Are we keeping things on life support that God is trying to kill off? Are we keeping things on life support that God is trying to kill off? This statement was big. Sometimes we love people for who they used to be and ignore who they are and what they have become. Sometimes we love people for who they used to be and ignore who they are now and what they have become. Saul didn't die because of jealousy or bitterness. He died because he couldn't change. Your system is under testing. That's what's going on. Like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, there's certain stuff in the Bible I just won't let go of. Remember when I spoke about Noah and the ark, I said, God, why did you use water? Why did you drown everybody by water? Why didn't you use fire? Why didn't you use an earthquake? That would have been a lot quicker. Why did you use water to drown everybody? Well, I was reading this one. I'm like, why on earth bother telling everybody that the boy sneezed 7 times? I was like, really, do we care that he sneezed 7 times? But you know what? Nothing by accident is in the Bible. Can someone say amen? So I'm going to read that last bit to you where it says, verse 35, and he got up and he walked back and forth and he went and stretched himself upon him. This is the second time he does it. The child sneezed 7 times and then he opened his eyes. And I went, who cares that he sneezed 7 times? Don't be so spiritual. You would have always said the same thing. Who cares that he sneezed 7 times? So I started to research 7. Why 7? What's the big deal? So 3 hours I'm going to put down into a couple of sentences. There are 7 days in the week, and God said that seventh is the Sabbath, the day that we rest. 7 days of creation, and when it was complete, it happened on the seventh day. The Bible as a whole is actually divided into 7 major divisions. Do you want to know them? No, okay, good. But trust me, they're into 7 major divisions. They're here. The book of Revelations, which is the final book, which says everything about our final chapter. In the book of Revelations, there are 7 churches, 7 angels to those 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 trumpet plagues, 707 are the last plagues. So I started to realize that 7 is just not a coincidence. The first resurrection, which is the rapture, it shall happen. And the dead in Christ will raise first. And that shall take place on the 7th trumpet that is blown. Which means this, the church and its duty will have been complete. So, on the 7th trumpet, after the 7 seals and the 7 churches and the 7 angels and everything that it was, 7 plagues, when the 7th trumpet is blown, that is when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that is when the rapture and the church's job on earth shall be done. 7 means complete perfection. Why did the boy sneeze 7 times? Philippians 1 says this, 6, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everything that you're going through will come to complete wholeness in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen? 7 was not just by accident. What God had spoken, a son was to be born and a son was born and a son shall leave. 7 sneezes means complete wholeness. If you are here with a thing, with a desire in your heart, I'm telling you, God that began a good work in you, he will complete it. He sealed it with 7 sneezes. So I wonder if the Shunammite woman went, there it is. This boy is a complete healing to my story. And therefore the story is finished. 7 is to say, I gave you a son, and regardless of the pain that you're feeling right now, I will speak complete healing. God has the final say, church.